DMV Football Roundtable is back coming at you. Thanks for checking us out. I'm Frank Hanrahan, joined by Jamal Bowens. Hopefully, Georgie Wallace will join us, as I think the last time we spoke, man, was a few weeks ago. And maybe we need to apologize to the Washington football team, because lo and behold, they're doing what they always do, late season push now, 6-6. They got a big game Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys, as we were really down on this team, but they have responded. You know, it wasn't that long ago we were crushing the organization for the way they handled Sean Taylor. We were crushing the defense, and lo and behold, they're one of the hottest teams in the NFL. What the heck happened over the last couple weeks? Because even though they're a 4-point dog at home, I like where this team all of a sudden is headed. And it's really crazy and strange to say that.
Well, look, I'm not going to apologize for the Sean Taylor thing.
I was just saying that was a debacle.
But that was sort of like wrong all the way around.
Yeah, it was a reflection of the whole ability to do stuff right. Right.
I wouldn't say apologize. I would say, okay, you have my attention a little bit. Uh-huh. I'm not going to go and do a whole 360 on Heineke either. What he's done, he has, to me, he's earned the right next season to go in being the incumbent, but you still draft the guy. Mm-hmm. That's a luxury that you have. So draft the guy, because I don't think he's good for right now, but does it make him a long-term answer?
Okay.
I think Heineke is here for a good time, not a long time. So you still have to put something else in place. And there's too many quarterbacks that can develop in this draft not to get one of them. And you had the luxury, fine. If he's not ready, then roll out with Heineke. But apologies, no, because you're expected to win.
There you go.
And that's why why we 100%. React the way we react, because we expected better.
No question.
Had there not been any expectations, as Ron said early in the season, then, you know, this would have been a pleasant surprise. Mm-hmm. It is. But we wouldn't have any expectations, no disappointments early on as much as we did. But now Ron's in his groove again.
Ron's got his groove back.
He's in his bag right now. He's in his element.
Hey, what's this rock thing? I don't understand. What is that? Have you seen that video?
He's really.
What does that represent?
David and Goliath.
Oh, you got to be kidding me!
Yeah, he said it.
What game did it start after? It's only been like a couple weeks, right?
It's been a couple weeks.
Was it like Heineke did it first, and then
Del Rio did it last week. Oh, my God. So, hey, I guess, too. So maybe it started with Seattle.
So, they're David with the rock.
David. Everybody else is Goliath.
Even though they won the NFC East last year.
But, look, Ray, you know what?
Hey, whatever it takes.
This is the Ron that I like to see.
Right.
Because the Ron early in the season,
he was doing nothing.
What are you talking about? He's looking at him sideways. Yeah. I wish we hadn't won. We had expectations. Now we got the run through the wall, Ron Rivera.
Yeah.
That we had last year. We were throwing rocks at things that end the game. He's saying, let's step and go.
Yeah. I saw
walking
that
off the field.
Yeah.
This is what, you know what? Everybody's talking about what McCarthy said. But the way he responded to that, it was almost Phil Jackson-like.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see his response?
I did. I did see his response.
It was Phil Jackson-ist to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, he said, you know, you're trying to get in our heads. Two, you're trying to convince your team. Three, it's probably a mistake. Mm-hmm. I said, wow. Look at Ron.
Yeah.
Ron is in his bag.
He dropped, you know what I'm saying? So when somebody says that, they're like, they're going back to right. their competitive spirit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard
that. He's dead serious.
He's, yeah.
This team, even without, and this is going off subject a little bit, to the people on Twitter that really think that this defense is better without Montez and Chase, shut the hell up. They're not.
That makes sense. Yeah.
They're not. They're playing better. They're playing well. But if you think that without those two, you can sustain long-term, you're fooling your damn selves. Anybody in the NFL would love to have either one of them. So stop it.
I agree. What do you think of, we don't have to go too far into it, but because you didn't have him for 4 weeks, but Chase Young getting COVID after saying that he had to get it
Montez,
before he thought
Montez.
About it. What did I say?
Who did Chase.
I say? Oh, my bad. Yeah, Montez.
Montez.
Sweat. Yeah. Is that being selfish or just a
Well, I think you said, you said it all right, dear. I mean, they didn't have him for 4 weeks. They went 4 straight.
Right.
I think that's where it stops. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can understand if he was in the mix and played in those games. Mm-hmm. But if he didn't, that's of no consequence really to the team. That's more of a fan and media thing, mm-hmm. hoping and depending that he'll be back this week and then getting that news. To the team, it's inconsequential because they've been winning without him.
True.
So that doesn't take anything away from what they've been doing these last 4 weeks.
So they're 6-6. They've won 4 straight. They get Dallas on Sunday. Dallas is 8-4, but they have struggled a bit lately.
Until they got the gift that is New Orleans.
Yeah, that's a oof. Let's break down.
Why couldn't we get that gift? We got.
We got them when they
we got
still
James.
Some,
we got an actual quarterback.
Some healthy people. Yeah, boy, they were bad in that game. But again, it's all about the next step, and it's right. the Cowboys. It's good to see actually some demand for tickets to go see this game. That's nice.
Well, inflation is high everywhere.
Yeah, inflation. Let's break down this matchup. I mean, what do you see in this? Gosh, I have no idea what's going to happen because, quite frankly, as we've discussed on this program, I saw actually the last 5 minutes of the Raiders game, mm-hmm. and I knew as soon as they didn't get that 2-point conversion that Heinicke was going to do his thing. He's got that moxie. There's no question about it.
He does. He does.
But that's what Dallas has to do. It's like, hey, we can't give this kid a shot. We can't not keep this thing close. What do you see breaking down this game Sunday?
I got a lot. I'll start on Washington's offensive side. You don't have Logan Thomas. He's gone. But everybody else is healthy. This offensive line, and people don't talk about it enough, has been the stalwart, not in this offense, the entire team. Whether Cosme is in, Scherf, they've had issues as well with injuries. Roulier, this offensive line, especially that left side with Flowers and Leno, they want all the smoke. They have been superb so far. Now you add De'Ami Brown is healthy. You have McKissick. Hopefully McKissick plays. You've got Samuel. It's time to take the training wheels off. It's time to unleash him. Ricky Seals-Jones is back healthy. He has been able to slide in for Logan Thomas when he's been out early in the season and played well. Terry McLaurin is going to be Terry McLaurin. Everybody talks about Trevon Diggs, and he's had a defensive player of the year type of year, but there's one person that seems to have his number, and it's number 17. Go back to last season. He got the joint with Terry. What happened? Terry burnt his ass for a 50-something yard touchdown. He has his number. That's going to be an interesting matchup, but it's on Turner. He has everything in front of him, this offensive line playing the way that they are, to get whatever you thought you were coming into the season, having all these guys healthy, except for Logan, you have it now. Open that playbook up. Been 2 games on the pitch counts for Samuels. It's time to get return on investment. He didn't do much, mm-hmm. been injured. Now it's time. 2 games, he's ready to go. take the training wheels off and let him go and give this defense something else to think about, because you cannot let Michael Parsons pin his ears back. He's been phenomenal. You cannot let Dexter Lawrence do that either. And you have to keep Diggs guessing. He's a ball hawk, but at the same time, he's got, what, 9 interceptions or something like that, something crazy.
Yeah, insane.
But he's also given up some of the most yardage, according to PFF, against wide receivers. He's a gambler. You got to hit him with double moves. You got to make him think. Because his first instinct is to go after that ball.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a double-edged sword. Sometimes you get it. Sometimes you don't. No one to hope, no one to fall.
I was going
to
say, I've heard that before somewhere. By the way, before I forget, here's what I would suggest. This has nothing to do with any X's and O's or a breakdown. I don't know how you feel about this, but this is what irritates me about this rivalry. The fact that Washington allows Dallas to wear their whites in FedEx. Like, just wear the whites so they have to wear their blues. So it, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's old school to me. That sort of brings back the rivalry deal. But anyways, I just wanted to throw that in there because I don't like it when you see the visiting team, unquote, in Dallas with their home uniforms. Just a thought.
I like the thought. I've never really thought about
just
it.
I would even go with all whites, even though I hate the all whites, just so that they have to wear their blues.
Right. Well, you know what? See, we're in a different day and age. And not so much in the NFL, and they're trying, but we're in a day and age where teams, no matter the sport, wear a million different uniforms.
Yeah.
Whether it's college. How many uniforms does Maryland have? 28?
Yeah, I was watching the NBA the other night. It took me like 2 minutes to figure out who the teams
were.
They got
crazy uniforms in the NBA.
Who's that?
They got the city editions. They got this. They got the, you know. It's not just the home and away anymore.
Right.
So we gotta kind of get out of that concept. And I get what you're saying.
You see what I'm
saying?
I agree with you. In terms of the rivalry, that's it. I don't care about anybody
else. I don't think Dallas sees it like that. Right. Dak is 7-1 against us. You think he sees this as the rivalry?
Is that right? 7-1?
7-1.
Yeesh. Okay.
Do you think DC is this is not a rivalry there?
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's not. No. It's a rivalry between fans in this area.
Yes.
Maybe some of that.
That's a good point.
But in this particular area is a rivalry there because it's damn near 50-50.
Oh, yeah.
And for what Jerry said this afternoon, people got upset, but he told no lies. He said outside of Dallas, Washington is where we generate a lot of revenue in terms of merchandise sales. He's not lying.
He's not.
He's not lying. How many Dallas fans do you know were born and bred in the D.C. area?
Oh, plenty. I know a lot.
I know a bunch.
Yeah, I know a bunch. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he's not to no lies. That's what it is. It's frustrating for us. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, that's what it is. And it's frustrating because I've met Dallas fans from here that never stepped two toes down in Texas. They might know Texas Avenue, but never been to Dallas.
Wait, is there a Texas Avenue in D.C.?
There's a Texas Avenue in Southeast, yes.
I have never heard of Texas Avenue.
You never heard of it?
No. By the way, I was
not too far from Benner Road.
I was downtown driving around the Capitol, and this sounds so weird, but you know, usually when you see First Street, you see it spelled out. I went to an area around the Capitol where the first was not spelled out. It was just like one ST. Ooh. I had never seen that before.
Yeah.
There's a Texas Avenue.
Yeah.
Even though I'm born and bred here, I've never heard of that.
Texas Avenue in Southeast.
Is there? There's no B Street, right? There's no B Street. See, that blows me away.
There a B Street?
There's no B Street.
No. No, I don't think there is.
There's not a Beat Street. And there's a Texas Avenue. Wow.
Did you say Beat Street or Beat Street?
I was playing around. I said Beat
Street. Oh, well. there's a Texas Avenue.
Beat Street. Oh, that's right. All right. I got to Google this. I had no idea there was a Texas Avenue. I've been on Puerto Rico Avenue or Puerto Rico Street. Have you ever been on that? Yeah. There's Puerto Rico Avenue.
Puerto Rico Street.
Street.
I've been in Hawaii.
It's Hawaii, yeah. For like a hot second on New York Avenue.
Yeah. Right.
Right, exactly. Okay. So give me your prediction about Sunday. Okay, here's the deal. Dallas is 4-point favorites. I think it opened up at 6. So money's being thrown right now, or was thrown, on Washington. I think it sort of hit a dry spell there, so I think it's now 50-50. But why in the hell are the Cowboys 4-point favorites over a team that has won 4 in a row, and it's in Landover? I would think on paper it would probably be more of a pick 'em, but yet Dallas is favored by 4. Tell me why.
You just said it. Dallas.
8-4.
Dallas carries. It's a Dallas and 8-4. Mm-hmm. To the people of Vegas, Dallas are 8-4. They might as well have the Cardinals. They might be 12-1.
Mm-hmm.
They might as well have the Cardinals. They might be almost undefeated at this point. 8-4, plus the cachet of the Cowboys, probably gives you 2 more wins in their eyes.
Yep.
And, you know, a lot of people said it. We're a little hot streak, but we're the cute team. Oh, bless your heart. Be a little pat on the head. Yeah. Oh, look at you trying to be grown. Look at you. Bless your heart. That's what we are. We're not taken seriously. And I don't know. This is a good measuring stick. I don't know if we are or not. I'll say this. My Kool-Aid is still in the pantry.
You're not mixing it yet.
All the sugar and the glass is still up in the cupboard. No.
Yeah.
It's not out yet.
Were you?
I don't know if it will be.
Were you of the generation where the Kool-Aid Man commercial was on like every other spot?
Yes.
I love those commercials. The best.
Yeah. You know what? It's crazy.
During my day, it was on all the time.
Every other commercial.
It was literally
Saturdays.
Every other. Yes. Oh, my God.
My uncle, when we watch games, somebody dunk or something, oh, yeah, and I go right back. My mind flew right back to the Kool-Aid commercial.
Kool-Aid Man, he was unbelievably awesome. Like, you wanted to be his friend. He was so cool. Like, all the kids, they saw the Kool-Aid. Why don't they do those commercials anymore? It's so good. I guess they don't have to because everybody
they don't know. Kool-Aid. They don't. But you know who tried it, but didn't try to, but it kept it a little bit relevant, was Family Guy.
Oh, did they? Okay. I never seen that.
In every you never seen those episodes?
No, I've never seen it.
Every so often they'll have an episode and Seth would write in and he'll bust in inopportune times. Like not even like Peter was in court one time.
Right, and here comes the Kool-Aid
and
Man.
Was you're guilty. And he's like, oh yeah. Like, oh no. And he backed out real.
Oh my God. All right, before we go, I need your prediction. Sunday, give it to me.
You know what? If I play the numbers, I would go 17-15.
Okay. Again.
They've been 17. Is that a record of some sort? That's uncanny.
It's pretty crazy, right?
Identical record.
Yeah.
Identical score, rather.
Right.
In 2 consecutive games. I was going to pick the Cowboys until McCarthy opened up his mouth. And then Trevon Diggs said he was a Cowboys fan growing up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But there's a pinned tweet that people are putting out that says, go Skins, #HTTR.
From back in the days. Interesting. Okay.
Well, also, when there were rumors that his brother Stephon was going to get traded, there's rumors of a tweet and he said, come home.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I remember that. I do remember
that. And during that time, I believe he was at Alabama and not yet in the league.
Right, right.
Alabama don't have an NFL team.
Mm-hmm. No, they don't.
So I will say this. I will go 24-21 Washington. Wow. And let me throw this little tweak in real
money
quick.
Line action, yeah.
On the defense, I think we win by a field goal. On the defensive side, they have to keep Pollard and Elliott. Both are not healthy. They're not 100%.
No, not
even
at
both
all.
Do play. They're not 100%.
Yep.
They have to keep pressure on Dak because, as well as the secondary has played, that threesome that they have—that excuse me—that. Their receiving core that they have in Gallup, Lamb, and Cooper, we've seen some good receiving cores, but those three are an issue. And you don't want anybody in the secondary to have to cover those three that long, because you can't. Mm-hmm. If Dak has any time at all, he is going to pick this team apart. We have to affect the running game, first of all, make them one-dimensional, and you have to make Dak uncomfortable.
24-21. I'll say, I'm with you, too. I'm in agreement. I'm in agreeance. I will take Washington football 24-17, and they make it five in a row. All right, my friend, enjoy the game Sunday. I will try to catch some of the game. I will try to watch
Frank,
some
let
this
me,
week.
Let me, real quick.
Yeah.
Throw out two things real quick. Yeah. Number one, shout out and congratulations to Hugh Jackson for being the new coach in Grambling State University.
Saw that.
HBCU. Mm-hmm. Good for him. My Terps are going bowling.
Yeah, what are they?
Pinstripe Bowl.
The Pinstripe
pretty
Bowl?
Good.
Against Virginia Tech. Okay.
Virginia Tech. Nice. Pretty decent. Yeah. Also, on a more somber note, RIP to Demaryius Thomas, former Broncos wide receiver. Houston, as well as the Jets, died at 33. Mm-hmm. RIP to him. Yeah. Five-time Pro Bowler and Super Bowl champ. So. Yeah. Yeah. RIP to him and players to him and to his family, rather.
Absolutely. All right, man. Thank you for checking us out. Jamal, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you
all
soon.
Right, man.
For
appreciate
Jamal
you.
Bones, I'm Frank Hanran. This has been the DMV Football Roundtable. We'll talk soon. Yep.